snap is back. He looks to his right. He looks to his left. He runs to his right. Foot in the ground. Wide open lane. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Brad Sham with the call. This is Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods, the only place you'll ever go again for all your grilling needs. With all your meats and all your proteins, let me know what you're throwing on the grill this weekend. Wild Fork with Star Up, Star Down. It's your Cowboys report guard here with Sean and RJ. Bobby Belt is up and energetic, just landing from Philadelphia and the airport hours ago. We got Jake in for Pepe and Aiden in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Star up, head coach debut. We all feeling good enough to give a star up to Brian Schottenheimer? I am, as he was emotional before the game, as he told the NBC crew during the anthem. He's always talking to God and his pops. So the tears were flowing for Brian Schottenheimer.
It would have been disappointing if, like, because he has been waiting his whole life for that game, the first game of the season, first half of the first game. Every play, you had all off season to script all those plays you wanted to get out there and run. It would have been a little bit of a letdown had those not been okay, because that offense was. It was cooking in the first half.
Fun.
The pace was fun. I really enjoyed the offense in the first half. Stalled out a little bit. And some penalties that Philly had helped it along. That's part of the game. It happens.
Some drops, too.
Yeah.
Some drops.
Some drops also kind of stalled out the offense.
Stalled out the offense in the second half, yes. Yeah, so the first half, though, it was cooking in the first half. So I was feeling pretty good about it. Now you get in the weeds of the season, and now you see what happens, game to game, but... I don't think you can have a negative viewpoint of Shoddy in the first after week one.
Chris Collinsworth was talking about the new offense with quick motions and tight formations. It felt like they were being choppy type aggressive and going down the field. And you have that with Pickens now. Like, hey, screw it. It's 2nd and 18. Chunk that mother up and let George go up and get it or draw a penalty. You can now go ahead and do that.
Yeah, opening drive, it's 3rd and 1. And what if they run play action and throw a deep corner to CeeDee Lamb 30 yards down the field? It wasn't just your standard, what I think people have come to believe about Brian Schottenheimer's offense. Last night, if you look at the clock management to end the first half, the decision to start Tyler Guyton without any practice when people wondered if Nate Thomas should start, the decision to make Jaden Blue inactive and ultimately still have success with the running game. They had 119 yards rushing last night. The first time they got to 119 yards rushing last year was week 9. So, they were having success. They were moving the ball. Guys, CeeDee Lamb and Luke Schoonmaker in that final drive, in the final two drives, they didn't finish plays. Otherwise, this is a different outcome. But I thought there was one call all night that I could think of where I was like, I didn't love that call. And it was on the second to last drive. It was on 1st and 10, and they ran like a stretch run to Javonte Williams, and it lost 2. And I was like, I don't love that there on 1st and 10. But
Look, they scored anyway on the drive. I didn't love at the end of the first quarter letting the clock run out. You had them on their heels. Just go. Just put the hammer down. Don't give them a breather.
I loved the way they throttled tempo, though. They consistently, when they had a big third down conversion, they would immediately go to tempo and put them on their heels. That's what they did after the 3rd and 1. They did that after the 3rd and 2. But they would start tempo, then they'd slow it down. Then they'd go up to the line with tempo, and then they'd slow down before they'd snap the ball. They were doing a lot of different things to really kind of play with Philadelphia. And I thought that was full-on A grade for Brian Schottenheimer.
I agree. I think the only little other small criticism I saw of him was not getting the playoff before the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter to give yourself an extra timeout.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know whether they felt set and all that, but dude, you knew it was going to be a circus here, right? We said this to Schottenheimer when he joined us the other day. You lose your best player. You go into Philly. You have a rain delay. You got a spitting incident. You got CeeDee Lamb drops. Brian Schottenheimer after his first game was done.
I think they were great. I mean, the defense did great. It's not our first rain delay. We've been through it, Pittsburgh last year. So similar type thing. The league did a great job communicating to us, hey, what time we think we're going to go out. And we have a plan in place for that. Those are things you plan on. But again, no excuses. We just got to find a way to finish that game.
Jerry Jones was pained. He was proud, but pained afterwards. in saying this was a great effort. We're happy. I wanted this one for Schottenheimer, though. I wanted this one bad for our head coach.
Well, I don't know how you even qualified need to see something. Boy, he had this team ready to play. And he had them prepared. He had them prepared on all sides of the ball. And he had them mentally ready to play. And I'm just sorry that when it got right down to it and we need to make those plays, we didn't get them made. But we all know we played a good team out there tonight. We played them at their home, hostile environment. Brian's first chance to really be a head coach and stepped out there. And in my mind, he didn't let his team down.
Do you think
they didn't let him down either, in my view.
So star up to Brian Schottenheimer, weekly guest Fridays 8:20 on this show and station. I'm going star up Dak Prescott. Jerry said afterwards, and the numbers do not bear this out, that that's one of the best games he's ever seen Dak play. You got to remember how long it's been since Dak's last regular season action was with the injury. And when he was walking in the stadium, Bobby, you started changing your mind about the game a little bit.
Just made me wonder, because you walk into football games and like 90% of the time when you go into an NFL game, Vegas may have their thoughts, fans may have their thoughts. 90% of the time, teams usually walk into that knowing who's about to kick whose ass. They usually know. And so when Dak is walking in and very purposefully, in like a silk romper basically, walking by the media and starts singing out loud, not mouthing the words, singing out loud for media to hear, "Fly like an eagle," as he's walking by the media. It's like, okay, what do you know that I don't know? What do you know that we don't know that you are confident enough to walk by and do this? You're confident enough to stare and smirk at Jalen Carter. You're confident enough to walk right up to him and face to face. I will say that energy, CeeDee Lamb making the catch, and then it obviously turned around later, but looking up at the crowd and like he's waving at the Philly crowd and some of the Javonte Williams stuff, the culture and everything else that Shotty's trying to establish, the like energy that he's trying, it was on display within their play last night.
CeeDee robbed him of better numbers. The numbers, if you didn't watch the game, you're not going to agree with me or Jerry afterwards, but 21 of 34 for 188, 5.5 a pass. I mean, these are stunning numbers to me with how I thought he actually played. The QBR was a 58-7, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. I thought he was much, much better than that. He was active. He wasn't limping around, dragging the piano with the mobility. And again, CeeDee robbed him of a lot more yardage and maybe even a touchdown or two. I have no hesitation in giving Dak Prescott a star up.
Me either. I mean, and when you say the numbers don't look as good, how many throws last night would we say that was a great throw that wasn't a completion? Five?
It was a great throw.
You had the one to Ferguson in the end zone. You had the one to Pickens that was pass interference down the sideline. You had two of the CD drops. You had the Schoonmaker drop. That's five right there. Like where they were, like the one to Schoonmaker to me is one of the best throws I've ever seen him make. And it wasn't a catch. That the way, like, I mean, that was put right on his hands between two defenders. That should have been caught. And so to me, like, I thought there were a lot of throws he made last night that were like, that's the old Dak. That's not the same guy who was out there on the field last year who, even before he got hurt, didn't look right.
Here's Dak on how he played.
I got to go back and look at it. It was fun just to be out there. Super thankful and blessed to be back into the game. Back with those guys, that line, that group, those receivers. Just felt good. Felt great out there. Obviously, there's some throws, particularly, right, couple to one – to Jake right there, one to Brev. I want to get a little bit higher, give them a little bit more catchable ball, but I feel like I played a smooth game.
Now, he threw a couple where he got his guys murdered, so I was taking that.
Yeah, hospital balls, that happens, though. Hospital. Like, you can't worry about that.
They got to fix the seam throws. The seam throws are a problem.
Star up, star down. Your Cowboy Report card brought to you by Wild Fork Foods on Sean and RJ.
The interior of the offensive line, especially in the first half. They were running the ball pretty well in the first half. I was really impressed with Javonte. He looked like he was, pre-injury for a minute there. Things, they'll stalled out a little bit. But I thought all three guys, Beebe, Smith, Booker, on the interior, played a really solid game.
Dak said they changed the entire game plan as soon as Carter got tossed. They changed everything.
That would make sense.
Cowboys finished this game averaging a yard more per carry than Philadelphia did. Philadelphia ran the ball 19 times in the first half and 19 times in the second half. In the first half, Philadelphia was 19 for 123. In the second half, they were 19 for 35.
I got some people sending me messages on social media about you know, Saquon, they had the over 24 and a half rush yards of the first quarter. You know, he had a 16 yard run and he still didn't hit it. Still didn't hit it.
I would say this is a tough star up, star down in terms of, because you feel like there was so much give and take at different points of the game. I do think that you mentioned the interior of the offensive line. Tyler Guyton deserves a ton of credit for not practicing basically for a month, 6 weeks, whatever it's been, going into a slick surface in a hostile environment. As Jerry said last night, he's like, I don't think we had any pre-snap penalties tonight. And he's like, and Tyler Guyton was kind of like emblematic of pre-snap penalties last year, and he didn't have any of that tonight. And Jerry, like, when he was walking back to the locker, that's who he was walking, like, arm in arm with to the locker, was Tyler Guyton, and just telling him how proud of him he was and how he went out. Jerry's like, I don't even need to go back and look at it. I know he played well, and I know he played the way we need him to play. And so I think Tyler Guyton deserves a big star up. If you want to talk about star down, obviously, other than a CeeDee Lamb, something like that, the next man up, the next up pass rushers, and all the depth we heard about didn't do enough to get home with four rushers. And I know Sam Williams at times flashed. I thought overall Marshawn Nyland had a really good game.
Collinsworth was in love with him.
I thought Nyland was really good. Nyland is starting to look like the DeMarcus Lawrence starter kit that they wanted him to be. Like over the summer and into this first game, he's showing flashes of being able to do some of those things. But the fact that the pass rush could not get home until they started blitzing corners, that's a problem.
So the biggest question moving forward after this game for me is, how much are you buying into the defensive adjustments in the second half after the rain delay? How are you really feeling? Because for the first half of that game, it was Groundhog's Day all over again. Excuse me. Helpless on defense. Absolutely helpless. Now, the Eagles were helpless as well, but I don't care about the Eagles. I'm not worried about them. The Cowboys have all the defensive questions, and they didn't have their best players. Everyone made the joke. Well, we lost our best defender. They may as well lose their best defender. But, man, it's just a helpless gashing that made me feel bad for the offense, and Dak and Shoddy right off the jump saying, you're going to have to score every single time out. And then they start blitzing the DBs a little bit. And then the interior of the defensive line steps up to a degree, and the Eagles out. And I'm like, all right, you had your opportunity. They still had one more offensive opportunity after I thought it was already done, that they had already blown it because they had gotten two straight stops and I was ready to throw a parade. And the great question was asked to Jerry Jones afterwards, did you miss Micah in this one?
Well, anytime you have a great player and don't have him out there on the field. But I specifically was watching a lot of the guys that were taking up the slack or might have been in this play. 54 had some really, really significant impact on their offense. And so all in all, this group adjusted, made the adjustments. We stepped up in the second half on defense, didn't quite get it done like we did in the first half on offense. But that type of thing does give you courage. I'm sorry, though, that we lost the game. It's been a fair take to step up here and beat the world champs in his first game. But it doesn't always happen the way the ropes end up. But I'm pretty proud of this team.
Star up, star down, brought to you by Wild Fork. That is going to be the question of the week moving forward in my mind. How much of that defensive fix are you buying into? We have news coming in as we speak on the spitting incident. Dak explains, is Philly right in blaming him for starting it? Is Jalen Carter going to be suspended? News is coming in on Spitgate next on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Sanders stays at running back. Receiver Tolbert in motion to the right. And Prescott gave it to Sanders, and the ball came out. It's picked up by the Eagles. And Quinyon Mitchell recovered it at the 25-yard line.
Star up, Dak Prescott, for the defensive play of the evening. I swear, when that ball was fumbled and it was picked up, and I don't know if I processed quickly enough that's Dak standing there, but I saw there is one person standing there, and if that person does not stop them, this is a touchdown, because it was just clean sailing the other way for 90 yards.
Yes.
And they ultimately get it. Let's talk about some star up, star down here as the Cowboys drop the opener 24-20 against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing and Window Nation. Before we get into the specifics of our star ups and star downs, I heard last night we were riding over to the charter site, and I was listening to Broadus on the post game show, and he kept coming back to like, you were better than them for most of the night. Like you should have won this game. Do you come away from this game saying this was a missed opportunity, or do you come away from it saying, no, you blew it, you should have won?
More missed opportunity. I disagree with those who are saying, I heard Maggie and Perloff before our show say that, oh, how did the Cowboys not win this? Or their producer was going off on a rant about the Cowboys always choking. No, I do not. Look, even if CD makes the catches, you're not inside the 10. You still have to score a touchdown. It was a even heavyweight fight for the most part in the first half. I felt like the Eagles were going to be able to sustain what they were doing more so than the Cowboys, because I had some more faith in the Eagles defense than the Cowboys defense. But after Dallas got like that third straight stop in the second half, which I did not think was possible, there was your opportunity. But they should have won the game. No, I do not go along with that. I don't think that this was a game that the Cowboys gave away or definitely should have won. They had an opportunity to win it.
They had a lot of opportunities. Yes, they had a lot of opportunities to win. Yeah, I can't say should have, because any number of things could have happened. It's just like, you go back to the Dez catch game. Like, yeah, let's say they gave it to him. The Packers still had 4 minutes. Like, you can't even say that cost them the game. We don't know. And the same thing here, like, even if...
It sucks you didn't beat them with their best defensive player not playing, and the reason you lost was CeeDee Lamb dropping multiple passes.
Yeah, and
that stinks.
They lost an offensive lineman, right?
Landon Dickerson.
And that's a big loss for them, right? That's a big loss. So those are two in-the-trenches guys that you lose, and you weren't able to take advantage of it. It's disappointing. It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But I don't think I don't know. I can't say they should have won, because we don't know how the game would have gone. Even if they scored even if they take a lead 27-24 with, 5 minutes to go, there's, who knows what happens there.
Is this a.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know that they should have won. The best argument for the case that says they should have won is you went three straight passes in the second quarter. When you got into the red zone again, and then you had to kick an Aubrey field goal, that could have been a touchdown. The Sanders fumble, that probably should have been points. And then the CD drop should have been points. So when you start like tallying up, what points did Philly leave on the board? Philly didn't leave points on the board. Dallas left a few different points on the board. And so like when you start looking at it from that perspective, you can make a case. But I think ultimately it's just a missed opportunity. Now, I'm going to have you go back in time a little bit. So you're going to have to remember the context of how you felt about it at the time. Do you feel better coming out of this loss, or did you feel better coming out of the opening night loss to the Buccaneers a few years ago that was considered the moral like victory loss, where they lost 31-29 to the defending champs?
I don't remember it. That was Dak balled out, right?
He balled out. That was him coming off of the lat injury where he threw 42 passes, and that was coming off the 6-10 year, McCarthy's first year. Dak coming off of the leg injury, and then they pushed Tampa Bay to the brink.
I probably feel better about this because I'm more worried about the Cowboys defense. So I'm more encouraged that things got settled or fixed in the second half. But I felt great about Dak after that game.
Yeah, I don't really remember. The one thing that would sway me towards feeling better against that one is that you were playing. I mean, a Brady-led team is just different, and they're just,
especially when he's playing Peyton.
Well, not in the playoffs. Not in the playoffs. But it's Philadelphia.
Old man Brady, though.
It was old man Brady. At the time we're thinking.
Was that after their title? No,
it was the year after they beat Mahomes. That was like their first night back. It was like same situation as Philly. It was opening night game, Dak coming off of an injury and against the Super Bowl champs.
I retract.
But, it all matters on whether you think like Philly was on the same level as that team. Like I think that Tampa team was much better.
I come away from this one a little more encouraged than the Tampa Bay game, because at the time things had left off with Dak. The first 5 weeks of the season, you're like, oh my gosh, he's playing out of his mind. He's throwing for 500 yards every week. And then he got hurt, and it's like, well, this team's going to spiral. So, like, you knew they had talented players. They still had Amari Cooper. They had their strong receiving core. They still had the running game that was building. So, like, you knew Dallas was talented. It was just a matter of, like, how healthy does Dak look when he comes back? This was, everybody thought this was a bad Dallas team, like, heading into this. And they still may be a bad team. But, like, coming into this, I think they've just blown away expectations. Yeah, or I think, I mean, we heard from Nick Eatman. I felt this way, like, 500 that then became maybe, like, a little below 500 after we saw them. Yeah,
8-9.
And that's I think that that could be an indictment on Philly. That could be Dallas playing emotional for Brian Schottenheimer, doing whatever else. But I came away from this one more impressed with them in this than I did in that Tampa game. Some of the star up, star down. I'm going to mention a couple of people that we have not talked about yet.
Star up, star down brought to you by Wild Force.
Star up, Oso Odighizuwa played well. I thought that Oso was good. He
you
was
see him showing off them guns walking in. In the pregame outfit, my goodness,
he's a tank, dude. He is a unit. But I thought Oso was really good in this one. And I think when I watch the tape back over the weekend, I think I'm going to see that Osa, Marshawn Nealand, maybe some Solomon Thomas. Those are going to be the guys that I'm pretty impressed with. The star down, and I understand rookie everything else. Donovan Ezeraku's got a. We got to show, especially when Brian Schottenheimer's telling, I think it was on our pregame, Brad Sham, he was telling Brad Sham that he thinks Ezeraku, he used the term star, like that I think Donovan Ezeraku is going to be a star in this league, and he's an advanced pass rusher. He's supposed to have pass rush moves that can come in here and make a difference. And when you're rushing for, you know, doing these four-man rushes and you're in there as the Micah role, you're the most similar, you know, size profile, athlete, like tools package, all those different things. You're the most similar one to Micah that they had. You've got to step up and perform in a big way, especially after the training camp where everybody was raving about you.
Yeah. Right now he's looking like a training camp star, and it has not been maintained since.
Yeah, and that to me is just the most frustrating aspect of this. Cause I had said it, I looked at, even with Micah here, I thought Ezeraku 6 sacks as a rookie, minimum. Because I think he's just in situational pass rushing instances, he's gonna be able to use that toolbox to his advantage and be able to show that he's an advanced rusher. He's clearly getting checked a little bit by some offensive linemen in these preseason games and then into the regular season already, and that's caused some issues here. Another one, we've made reference to it, but I got to give this star down to overall played well. Kyer Elam giving up that long third down catch on, 51 yards down the field to Dotson. That turned into points. That was in a game where it was kind of ping-ponging back and forth.
Six
that felt like
before the half.
Just devastating.
Yeah, I was just begging for one third down stop.
And Dotson, of all, like, this wasn't, you got beat by Smith. This wasn't A.J. Brown. You let Jahan Dotson, who has been a bust to this point of his career, get you deep down the field. That was a tough one to swallow.
And they end up going 8 plays, 81 yards in a minute 43, and take the lead before the half with 51 seconds left. That was a gut punch. Yeah, Saquon, that was his touchdown. But the Cowboys, to their credit, had an awesome response with a field goal. Hit the 53-yarder before the half. But,
44 seconds to go.
But they got a touchdown.
And I was, wondering how they were going to play this. And I was thinking to myself, we are not far removed from an era that even if you had 3 timeouts and 44 seconds left at your own 15, you're taking a knee.
Yeah.
We are not far removed from that. Thank God. Thank God that awful era of football is gone.
My favorite moment in terms of decision-making, trust between coach, quarterback, everything else that happened in this game was on that 2-minute drill at the end of the half, which was they use up the second timeout. There's 15 seconds left, 14 seconds left, something like that. And at that stage, I think it was like a 65-yarder for Brent, for Aubrey. And so when
McCarthy would have kicked that.
He would have kicked it.
And kneeled and then kicked.
And Schottenheimer, you saw Dak on the broadcast, like, putting his hands up and saying, like, I got it. Like letting Schottenheimer know, like, I got it. We're good. We'll be fine. McCarthy would have called a draw play probably with no timeouts and 15 seconds left. But
McCarthy was loving the Cowboys yesterday on McAfee. He goes, you better take the Cowboys in the points. He was absolutely right about that. And he was raving about the Cowboys moving forward.
So Dak drops back. I think it was to Pickens. It was Pickens or Lamb, but I think he threw to Pickens there where it was drop back, get the ball out, complete it. Everybody got up to the line of the scrimmage quickly. Everybody got set. They let the ref touch the ball. That was a big thing too. And then they spiked the ball with that 3 seconds left, put Aubrey in a position to get those 3 points. You had tweeted it at the time I saw it where it was like, this is a good early test for Brian Schottenheimer clock management and how he responds to that. I thought Dak, Schottenheimer working together on that, handled it pretty flawlessly. It made me feel comfortable about if they get in a similar situation, the 2 minute, that they might be in a good position to do that.
I've got a couple of star ups, if I may. One, big Eagle fans. I did not hear a single misspelling of E-A-G-L-E-S the entire time.
Yeah, but I thought their PA guy messed up some grammar during that interesting pregame show with an anthem that NBC didn't realize. I don't think they were broadcasting. People killing Boyz II Men for their national anthem. And then their PA person, I thought, messed up the English language.
See, and I was going to say star up for having Boyz II Men out there.
Well, for having them.
Yeah, I'm not results oriented. See, I'm a process guy. I don't care about results. The process of getting Boyz II Men there is the right process. That was the right move. You would do that again.
That banner ceremony before the game, I will say, aesthetics-wise, it was kind of cool.
Look, the green lights. I didn't know you could do green lights. That was kind of cool.
That light, like the Cowboys having to trot out onto the field in this like green glow and this roaring crowd.
I'm not saying this to be a homer. I'm really not. You can't take yourself seriously with that stupid Eagle chant cheer. You can't.
The song or just the chant?
The song.
Yeah, Sarah said, what are they playing? I said, this sounds like 100 years old. Like, it's corny. That was back, like, they made it back when, you know, they had, you know, Prohibition.
So terrible. Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Wild Fork here on DFW Sports Station. Did RJ Choppy lock up worst take of the week?
No.
By saying Jalen Carter should not have been ejected. Worst take will make you some football money with the Degenerate and Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com after this.
But first, look, prices have got out of control. Affordability is the biggest problem in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000, and most people's wages haven't kept up. That's why some are stuck with seven-year loans just to make the payments work. At D&M Leasing, they solved that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, and terms that make sense. Don't overpay. Solve the payment problem. They know how much trust you're putting in them with them when you're getting into a new vehicle at D&M, and they don't take it lightly. That's why D&M has been the right fit for so many friends, family, and neighbors of ours. I told you guys, ask around your social circle. Put a post up on Facebook. You're going to find people who have worked with D&M and absolutely loved it. This is the same D&M Leasing that Cars.com ranked the top leasing company in the country for the 11th year in a row and the best overall dealership for customer experience in the Southwest region of the United States. Join 50,000 other satisfied customers by calling 817 or 972-35-LEASE. That's 817 or 972-35-LEASE, or visit us online at dmautoleasing.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Eglin. You got old man Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford as we are live at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth off of Camp Bowie. We've been having fun all day long, and oh man, I am excited for this segment. Cowboys thank you or no thank you notes, and I feel like the most logical thank you note to start with, thank you to Jalen Carter for being a dumbass and getting kicked out before the first play from scrimmage.
One of our Tolos also did say no thank you Jalen Carter, because that's gross.
Yeah, don't spit on people. At least it landed on, is it weird that I'm thinking spitting on his jersey will get him in far less trouble than if you were to like spit on his face? Because I know people are like, oh, he might get suspended, and I'm like, oh, landing on his jersey, I wonder if they'll factor that in. Is that weird that I'm yes it I is. I agree
Mike McCarthy, either way it's disgusting. And that's no man, I don't, the again, Dak spitting in your general direction, yeah, if you spit it in my direction, I'm offended ish
right?
I'm asking what's wrong with this guy. You spit on me, and I'm punching you. And so then so you've assaulted me, now I can assault you back. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, no.
All right.
Because I think what you learned, no, don't support that. You got Jalen Carter kicked out. If you would have punched him back or something, then you probably would have gotten thrown out.
Oh, it's the retaliation that always gets the flag. That's right.
From the 972, no thank you to the Cowboys receivers. If you can't man up against the most hated division rivals, sit out. Now, that feels like that could apply to a few people. Is it Jalen Tolbert for seeing blocking opportunities and been like, I'm going to pass on that? Is it Jake Ferguson for dropping what would have been the go-ahead touchdown pass. And, man, he feels like he's gotten off light in the last 12 hours or so. Or is it CeeDee Lamb for dropping numerous opportunities yesterday?
I think they are specifically talking about CeeDee Lamb. I'm just taking a guess on this one because that's the – I mean, he was the one that got the big targets in the big moment.
Sure.
Against the big opponent. Like, that's – they're frustrated with that. That first half, doesn't matter what you did, buddy. It's the end of the game when it matters the most.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate for him. I would like to give a thank you note, Kevin, to Kyer Elam, Kenneth Murray, and James Houston. I like those guys a lot out there.
Except for that one Kyer Elam play.
The one Kyer. Other than that, dude, he put his nose in there. He was making – look, Diggs was the one that happened to be on the goal line when the run came through.
Right.
And I was like, he's not tackling him. He acted like he tried, and that's okay. I appreciate it. But Kyer Elam, he was sticking his nose in there trying to make some tackles. He had six tackles on the night. I appreciate that. And, again – Kenneth Murray led the team with tackles, tied with Malik Hooker. Those dudes were in there being physical, chiming with what they wanted. Unleash us. Did you hear that part
of
it?
I really
enjoyed hearing that.
Yeah, and in the first half, I would have been like, you were unleashed. Like, let's see their punter. So I want to give a thank you note to cut this player from cut number 17. I actually got nervous and did not like that the Cowboys ran another play to make the field goal closer for Brandon Aubrey. I was like, just let him kick it from 62. He'll be fine. But instead, he kicked it from 53. Let's hear it. Never a doubt.
Snap good. Hold good. 53 yards.
Good.
Thank you to Brad Sham for that.
Yes.
I wonder if they, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
The entire place last night where I was at the Bearded Monkey, Kevin, was like, as soon as it left his foot, everybody knew. As you just said, never a doubt. No thank you to Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
Listen, man, hold on to the ball. You got four carries last night. One of them was on the ground.
Man, one of them was almost as good as it could be, and the next one was as bad as it could have been.
And I think it completely altered the game because of where you were field position wise. You changed the game there. You changed your. You know what, Kevin? Let's say they don't make it. They kick a field goal. They're down 24-23. Now you don't have to get a touchdown at the end of the game. Now you can kick another field goal to win the game, and we would have had a walk-off with Brandon Aubrey maybe from 75, 85 yards. Who knows? Exactly. He can kick it from Lubbock, as Schottenheimer said. So that's a missed opportunity there.
Now, coaching soccer practice, no thank you. Made me miss all but 3 points in the game.
Oh, man.
And then I like this. Thank you to Javonte Williams. He looked great and showed a ton of fight and toughness. Man,
he's a tough runner, man.
He was moving the pile when I thought at least two plays were dead.
Yeah, there was one near the goal line, right? He was up, they were about 8 yards, 10 yards out, and he pushed it all the way down to the 1 yard line after everybody thought he should be down already.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. That's the Javonte Williams that I kind of saw coming back a little bit last year with the Broncos at the end. And so that's the one that I was expecting. Okay, he's going to be a little bit healthier. He has the ability to run with that kind of force. So hopefully that's the case for him, man.
Now, I've seen a couple that kind of follow this idea. No thank you to the refs for not calling any early holds on the Eagles, especially the egregious one on Donovan Ezeraku. I get some of the other ones, man. I thought the one on Ezeraku where he was getting hooked and thrown to the ground, I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah, no, and Kevin, you can call it on every play. There are plenty that I've
seen. Call it on the plays that I want.
Yeah, I know. There are plenty that I've seen the Eagles fans thrown out there going, how is this one so egregious and it was not called? I get it.
I want those fans to shut up, though.
I understand. And you know what? That's what no thank you notes are for. And thank you notes as well. So you're right, Kevin.
No thank you note to the Eagles fans. Shut up.
I don't think I've been homer enough today. And I think that's what I'm going to do. Next week, I'm aiming to be more homer. Because I feel like I've been very kind of right down the middle with everything today.
Okay, can you be overly homerish against the Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. You're trying to suggest that I can't do it with Philadelphia, but I can do it with other teams. That's
I don't
what you're
know
trying
what
to say.
You're saying.
By the way, Malik Nabers, back tightness. Dable says that he's going to be okay. I don't know about that.
That's something that was, see, there you go.
I'm
but
trying
that,
to get,
that's
I'm trying to get somebody to trade Malik Nabers to me also. So.
That's something that was prevalent all throughout the offseason as well. And he was like, look, I'm going to just kind of have to manage his back. And so keep an eye out on that.
I'd like to say no thank you to the Eagles kicking game. Why not give Kevontae Turpin an opportunity, man? He was frustrated because you guys wouldn't kick the ball to him. Were you scared? Are you scared? Are you Eagles or chickens? I don't know.
Okay, first of all, that was an amazing line. But also, I understood Kevontae Turpin's frustration, but also I was like, that just feels like good football strategy.
It is. It's smart.
Now, this one's tough. Does my wife deserve a no thank you note for not knowing any names of players on the Dallas Cowboys? And when I say that, I'm going to walk you through what happened.
Okay.
Noah wanted to sleep in our bed. And she goes, if you can name one Dallas Cowboys player. And I was like, how many Dallas Cowboys player do you know? And she goes, Dak Prescott. And I was like, how many more? And she goes, Jerry Jones.
That's not
a player.
I was
like, that's not a player.
Not a player at
all.
And
I was like, tell me another player. And she goes,
although Jerry probably thinks of himself as a player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She goes, what about Tank? And I go, he's not on the team anymore.
Gone.
And she goes, what about, do they still have the kicker? And I said, yeah.
What's his
she
name?
She goes, I want to say Brent.
Maher.
And I go, does Brent Aubrey sound right? And she goes, that might not be right. And I was like, no, it's Brandon Aubrey.
Brent Maher is who she was thinking.
Yeah. And then she looked on the sidelines and they showed him turned around. And she goes, oh, they got Diggs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you just saw that on his jersey.
And you're like, which Diggs? And she's like, Stephon.
Yeah. And she goes, if you could give me multiple choice. And I was like, no deal. And I said, what about Lamb? And she goes, oh, CD. See, I just need multiple choice and I can figure it out. And then I made
and
up.
C and D are
yes,
both in multiple
yes, exactly.
Choice.
So she might not know. If you had to fill in the blank, she would have only gotten one Cowboys player correct. Now, Noah, of course, is not familiar with Brian Schottenheimer or Jerry Jones, so he did not get to sleep in the big bed.
That's unfortunate for him. When I got home last night, my dog was in his kennel, and he was whining. I was like, I'll let you out for just a little bit longer, buddy, so he could hang out with me to watch the rest of that game.
If you could tell us one team Schottenheimer's dad coached.
And he was like, Bolts. No thank you or thank you. They're trying to convince us that that was a real eagle. That was a drone. Whatever.
Okay.
Do you think an eagle's really going to do something like that? Come on. That's how we know birds aren't real right there, Kevin.
Oh.
They're trying to trick us with that stuff.
Now, that I agree with from the 806. I'm assuming this is a no thank you. They said Kenneth Murray was bad, Corey. He was the worst player on PFF. Now, I understand when people reference Pro Football Focus, but also last night, I believe the Pro Football Focus on Saquon Barkley last year had him as like the 12th ranked running back or something ridiculous like that. And so that you can use to undercut the grading measures as well.
I'll give you three things. One, I was watching the game intermittently because I was talking to people also.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't watching it like I usually do. Two, I have not watched the complete game yet. Like I'm going to sit down tonight, go through it like I typically would after a Cowboys game. Three, watch the damn game. You can look at stats all you want, but the great Randy Galloway said watch the damn game. And if the damn game tells me that he played good, then I'm going to believe that.
Okay. All right. And then somebody said thank you note to the Cowboys for giving them optimism. And that's like right on. I'm not here. You've told me numerous times not to tell people how to fan.
Yes.
So if you're stoked and more optimistic about the Cowboys season now because of what happened yesterday, then I'm not going to hate on you for
that. I thought, dude, Kevin, coming into this season, I kept saying I have no clue. But I kept having this like fear of badness. And going through another season where Jerry Jones is going to be ticked off at us. Very much like the way Sean feels about it. I was like, this just isn't going to be fun. This looks like it could be a fun season. I know it started off with a loss, but it looks like it could be a lot more fun than we were expecting. That guy right there has the light on his phone in his pocket, and he doesn't know it, I bet.
Okay. Now, I want to read this text because this is a new criticism. From the 817, no thank you to y'all for killing Ferguson for dropping a pass where he immediately got his head taken off. Yeah, but that's irrelevant to the play because he had dropped it before. And so, like, he was already dropping that before he got hit. So, like, let's not factor that in. But then not killing Dak for throwing it short on the play before, where if he leads Ferguson, it's an easy touchdown. As usual, we glaze Dak and kill Ferguson. I want to thank them for being the first person to complain that we glaze Dak Prescott. I have not seen that critique yet, so thank you.
That pass hit the defender in the back of the helmet. And, you know, I've seen Ferguson pull that ball off of the back of somebody's helmet before. Saw Alvin Harper pull it off somebody's face mask back in San Francisco also. It would have been a lot better had that been a higher throw.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Dak had a pretty good game. He didn't have any touchdowns. He didn't have, and there are lots of people at fault for that. But I thought Dak, considering this was his first game back since the injury, I felt pretty good and pretty confident about him. But yes, that throw definitely could have been better for sure.
Yeah, but I wanted to read that. It's not often that we get critiqued.
We glazed Dak
for being too pro Dak.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour number three of the nation. We're live at the Globe, Comerica Backyard, Rangers Astros tonight. Excitement is building for a Silver Boot Series, and we'll get more on that coming up with Eric Nadell and Jared Sandler. Brian Schottenheimer's presser is coming up at 4:30. Let's check in with our buddy Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and a good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you? Do we got you, buddy? Nick Harris, Star Telegram here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, yeah, I imagine he's up there at the Star, probably getting spotty cell coverage, you know, but looking forward to this Schottenheimer press conference. I felt like the coaching staff was one of the main thumbs up from last night that gives me, you know, optimism that maybe they're going to have their best coaching staff that we've covered in a long time, Brian.
Yeah, I really I had some questions about some things second half offensively. Really appreciate that Eberflus and those guys stayed after it.
Yes.
The rotation that they were able to do. I mean, with Coach Whitecott and the defensive line, you could see that they were trying to find different combinations, keep guys fresh. And so, yeah, that part of the defense, I like what they did bouncing back.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Nick. How you doing?
Yeah, sorry about that. Take two. Doing well, fellas. How are y'all?
We're doing well, you know, even though the Cowboys lost, I feel like there's some reasons to be optimistic and positive about these next 16 games. Is there hope in there for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Brian Schottenheimer was very insistent last night. Actually, most people in the locker room were insistent last night that there's no moral victories to take away from it. You know, the loss in the loss column, it still counts the same as the 34-6 and 41-7 losses they took last year to the Eagles. But I feel a lot better coming out of this game about this team than I maybe did going in. You know, a lot of concerns that I maybe had on defense, they were, you know, answered in the second half. Maybe not completely, but I think there's a lane for those answers to be had. My offense is certainly encouraging, too.
What we saw in the second half as far as stopping the Eagles' run game, do you think that's replicatable? Like, was that a big step in the right direction that we saw at halftime and then there with the weather break?
Yeah, it was a huge step in the right direction. And I think you saw Kenny Clark really get comfortable in that front for the Cowboys. You know, he's still learning how to play next to all of these guys. You know, 9 seasons in a specific system. It's going to take a little time to, you know, get used to some other faces that you're playing with on the D-line and, you know, a different system as well. But you saw him really kind of settle in that third quarter and how big of an addition he is going to be. I think you saw a little bit of a glimpse of that there in the second half. I mean, there was a stretch for Saquon Barkley where he had 7 carries for just 1 yard in the second half, and that's huge, especially against a running back of that caliber and against an offense of that caliber. It was really encouraging to see.
I agree with you 100% on Maris Leofau. I saw you tweeting about that last time. I was like, why is Maris not getting more snaps? What stood out to you about the linebacking core in general?
Yeah, I didn't love the play from the second level. You know, if I had to pick one big red flag from the game defensively, I'd be pointing at that linebacking core, you know, led by Kenneth Murray and Jack Sanborn. You know, even at times when I feel like they did get into the right position to make plays and running lanes, they weren't able to finish the play. But it was very rare that they were even in good position to make plays. I mean, in that first half, you saw Saquon Barkley, A.J. Dillon, Will Shipley. It was basically anybody they wanted to roll out there at running back, they were picking up positive yardage. And then Jalen Hurts just being able to scramble and make plays with his legs, that was just so killer there in that first half. And if you're looking at probably the biggest thing that hurt the defense last night, it was Jalen Hurts' legs. And not having a spy with the athleticism of a guy like Maris Leafau, it would have made sense, I would have thought, in my eyes. But, you know, going back and seeing the snap counts and seeing Leafau only get 6 defensive snaps compared to the 62 for Murray, I believe it was 41 for Sanborn, and even Damone Clark was in the high 30s, that really surprised me. You know, coming out of training camp, I thought Maris Leafau was the most athletic of that group. Could probably give you more sideline to sideline rage out of anybody in that group, but you know he wasn't trusted on the field last night, and that's an interesting thing for me.
Nick, how long before you think they get Blue on the game day roster?
Yeah, that's an interesting one too. You know, coming out of training camp in the preseason, I think it was maybe a little bit closer than some had expected as far as, you know, him making the 53. I don't think he was ever in jeopardy of missing the 53, but you know, I think there was at least a discussion had, and I guess I didn't take that you know, as seriously as I maybe should have, because I expected him to be on the game day roster and, you know, to get some early season opportunities. So it surprised me when he was inactive yesterday. You know, if it were me, I mean, I would be trying to find touches. He's, I think, the most explosive guy in that running back room. Sure, there might have to be some things that he has to work on from a game knowledge perspective, but, you know, overall, I think that type of speed, you have to bet on it. And you think to that Miles Sanders 49-yard run yesterday, I don't think Jaden Blue gets caught on that run, you know, and that's nothing against Miles Sanders. You know, that was a really good job of him to find that big hole in the big gain. But, you know, when he follows it up with a fumble a couple of carries later, you think about those things. So, you know, hopefully you'll see some Jaden Blue next week.
Nick Harris with you, Star Telegram here on the Fan. What do you think about CeeDee Lamb? Do you have confidence he's going to be securing catches?
Yeah, it was very uncharacteristic, right? I mean, the 4 drops that he had in that game last night, not only a career high for him, but it's more drops than any NFL receiver has had in a game since he entered the league in 2020. So it was super uncharacteristic of him. And I was told this afternoon that, you know, this is a player off day for the Cowboys players in the facility. But CeeDee Lamb, he went into the facility on his own this afternoon and spent quite a bit of time on the jugs machines with one of the equipment guys. So he's trying to get back into the lab as quick as possible to rectify whatever happened last night and hope that doesn't happen again for him.
All right, what'd you uncover when it comes to Spitgate? Are we in danger of Dak maybe getting some kind of fine here?
I'm not really 100% sure as far from a league perspective. I haven't been able to talk to anybody from the league about this situation. I am curious to see what the league thinks about it at the end of the day. I'd be shocked if Jalen Carter does not get a fine. He won't get a suspension. Unless it's something absolutely egregious. It's very rare that a player that gets ejected gets suspended on top of that. You know, for Dak, it could be a fine, but again, I didn't really see anything that was qualified as a hostile act in my eyes from Dak to maybe warrant a fine. But, you know, we'll see what the league thinks. Obviously, the league has, you know, a lot more eyes and ears on this situation than we do.
Hey, Nick, when it came to the rookie right guard, you know, you and I do a lot of work, Zach, on the draft show. Where were your impressions of how he played?
Yeah, I thought he played well. You know, I would have loved to have seen him up against Jalen Carter, but, you know, there were some moments up against Moro Ojomo where he really had some showed that juice and that power that he had at Alabama, and I thought it was a really encouraging start for Tyler Booker in his first start. You know, if I was ranking, you know, the 5 offensive linemen last night, I'd probably put him 2 or 3 as far as performances. I thought he played pretty well in the run game, you know, paving some holes down the middle. And then in pass protection, I thought he was solid. He wasn't perfect, but I thought he was solid given his debut against that type of front.
Would number 5 be Steele?
Yeah, it probably would be. You know, although
yeah,
I thought there were some moments in the run game.
Yeah, it was a little tough.
Although there were some moments in the run game that I thought Terrence Steele did really well getting out into space. You know, talking about that Miles Sanders 49-yard run.
Right.
I mean, he came across the formation.
Absolutely did.
To deck a safety and clear that hole. So, you know, I thought the line as a whole played well last night. And so, you know, to be the number 5 guy in that group, I don't think that's as big of a negative as it maybe would have been last year.
What about Guyton and the 5 pressures that he gave up? Is there, you know, evidence that he's heading in the right direction and he can be a left tackle of the future?
You know, I saw things from him yesterday that we didn't see last year. Those hands have come a lot more inside. It's a lot more narrow hands than he had last year when he got super wide on guys. He was almost hugging them. You know, the fact that he had 0 penalties last night, I think that's a bigger deal than him having 5 pressures in my eyes. You know, that's a step in the right direction for him. The discipline things and him getting his hands into correct usage I thought those were, you know, positive signs. You know, sure, those five pressures, you don't want those, especially against that type of front. But I thought all in all, considering the circumstances, considering that he hasn't been in a live training camp practice, or he wasn't in a live training camp practice for the last 3.5 weeks, I thought it was a strong start for Tyler Guyton, considering.
Nick, what do you know about the approach that they took with the rain delay, being in the locker room? I know Trayvon Diggs was out trying to find some grub, and it seemed like the defense made plenty of adjustments.
Yeah, I thought the defense played really well in the second half overall. And, you know, I talked to some guys in the locker rooms about, like, hey, what were the vibes in the locker room during the rain delay? And everyone was like, well, it was good. You know, we took our pads off, took our helmets off, just kind of sit back and chilled. And, you know, we tried to keep the energy up. And a lot of guys said that they headed back out to the field with a lot more energy and a lot more optimism coming off of that fumble than had they, you know, continued right through that drive. You know, they thought it really benefited them. But, you know, obviously they weren't able to score any offensive points out of that. But, again, I thought the defense played really well there in that second half. You know, at halftime, I was talking with one of the media members about, you know, Matt Eberflus. You know, is this going to work this season? And I think after the game, we found each other again. It was like, well, I think Eberflus is going to be all right. He made some second-half adjustments. And so that's a big deal, right? Because, I mean, coming off of these, you know, last couple of years, it felt like on either side of the ball, there were times where second half adjustments weren't made, and it was almost things that seemed really obvious and clear up front. But, you know, I thought Eberflus did a really good job of shoring some things up, especially in the run game. Yeah, 123 yards allowed on the ground in the first half, 35 in the second half.
Wow. Yeah, if half times were only an hour in length, we might have a good shot there at that, then, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not a Texas high school football halftime.
Exactly.
Every band in the county has to play. But,
no doubt. The drill team.
Yeah, 100%.
Get them all out there. What was your assessment on Pickens' debut?
Yeah, I maybe expected him to get a little bit more involved, and I think Pickens maybe did as well. And, you know, we talked to him in the locker room after the game, and he was like, look, my time's going to come. You know, CD was getting open most of the night, and, you know, George Pickens was actually, you know, helping out CD Lamb there after the game and, you know, keeping his head high after those really crucial drops. You know, overall, you know, you would have liked to have seen more, I think, from a you know, receiving production standpoint. But I think in that first quarter, you saw him get the first reception of the game. Then he drew the DPI later on that second drive, I believe it was. You know, those are two big things, and that just comes from being a smart player and understanding, you know, the situation. But all in all, I at least his presence was noted. I mean, you saw safeties over the top of George Pickens, and it really allowed CeeDee Lamb to find those open lanes, the 13 targets that Lamb had. I'm not sure he has 13 targets if George Pickens is not on the field. So even if he's not showing up in the stat box, he's going to show up in some other places for some other guys.
What do you make of the Eagles? How different are they? Are they a favorite? Do they look like a Super Bowl team to you?
Yeah, I think their secondary is going to need some work. And it kind of reminds me of how I felt about them going into the 2023 season. You know, it's a couple of pieces that they've tried to replace in the secondary. They're still figuring out their cornerback two situation in my eyes. And then Adoree Jackson gets hurt on top of that. And they have to flip around to Bennett last night late in the game. And I thought CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens both had their way with him on some one-on-one opportunities. So, you know, I'm curious to see how, you know, Vic Fangio, Howie Roseman, they attack the secondary issue. But they just added another pass rusher in Za'Darius Smith. So maybe they try to solve it by getting more guys home in the backfield. You know, they're having to replace some guys up front, too. So I think they're still figuring out what exactly is going on defensively as far as the new faces go. But I think offensively, you know, when they found their stride, I mean, it looked like the team from last year. But, you know, when those second half adjustments were made by Eberflus, you wondered about the Landon Dickerson injury, if it maybe affected them up front a little bit more than we expected. But overall, it's a good team. That's a top five team in the NFL, even on their worst day. And I thought the Cowboys played up to that level last night.
What are you looking forward to following up with Shoddy on here in about 20 minutes?
Yeah, excited to talk to him about the linebacker play. You know, we talked about that here earlier in this hit. You know, overall, the feelings coming off of the plane this morning whenever the team got back. I mean, the energy was high in certain areas of the locker room last night, and then in some other areas, guys are kind of beating up on themselves, feeling like they let one get away there. So, you know, I wonder how that's, you know, kind of turned now that everybody's flipped on it and, you know, they're heading into the weekend. Now, granted, the whole team is off this weekend through Sunday. They'll be back in the facility on Monday. But I am curious to see what the vibe is around the team coming out of week one.
Terrific job as always, sir. Love your social media there on Twitter. Just outstanding information and insights. And have a great weekend. And we'll catch up with you soon.
I appreciate it, fellas. How about we get a series win out there at the Globe? What about
Let's do it, baby.
Oh, dude, I'll drink to that.
Let's go.
Let's do that.
Let's get the broomsticks out.
Astros pregame coming up at 6:30. First pitch at 7 o'clock. And, I mean, these are – you got to take two out of these three at least. And then it's going to be tough next week. Brewers, Mets. So
yeah,
the rubber's really hitting the road. But I think after that day off, people are fortified. They're feeling good here about your Rangers here in this silver boot. I think they got a winning record against Houston this year.
They do, and you got Merrill Kelly tonight and DeGrom as well.
Yeah, Kelly, DeGrom, Corbin. I think that lines up well, although Alvarez is back. We'll have to talk with Sandler and Nadell about how you approach that a little bit later on. Chief, where are we going next?
Let's go ahead and hit you with a little football's finest, more Cowboys takeaways, and we prep our bodies for week one of the season next in the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're live at the Globe. Rangers, Astros tonight. Sweet dreams made out of those first two drives last night. How sweet was that, baby?
So hot.
It was like an alternate experience, a universe. My mom texted me, you know, she watches all the Cowboys games from over there in Bend, Oregon. She goes, well, this is different. I was like, yes, Mom,
yeah,
it sure is.
Sure was.
Going to be a lot of fun to talk about. And speaking of that, time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
Thanks for all the hard work you put on this team, man. To be up till 2 last night and back at them again at 6 o'clock in the morning watching tape, you're the man.
Oh, man, it's what we do this time of year. I was curious. I was actually, when Wolchek and I got done last night at 1, I was honestly looking forward to when that film hit the box because I was like, okay, how did they not finish this thing off? You know, there's things that you wonder, like, the whole thing with the fumble. I mean, we're talking in post game, and I'm like, you know, God, what a terrible thing to have happen. And then you see, oh, it happened because. You know?
But linemen get beat. You got to hang on to that rock.
Yeah. No. Well, but
take the TFL.
But your best guy, your best.
That's tough.
Your best guy, and that's the part about this game last night is that it was your best guys doing things that kind of hurt you in the football game. Best guys make plays, and then best guys, when you need them to make that clutch play, then something happens that they don't. Because you're sitting there thinking like, okay, is it a backup guy? Is it somebody that it shouldn't be playing today that's causing you to not to have success?
No, it was your main guys.
It was your main guys, and that's what was really just kind of. And I said I wouldn't let this team get me mad.
Oh yeah, how long did that last?
Not long.
I don't think I was mad. I think I was
frustrated.
I was frustrated in a selfish way because I picked the 27-24 final.
Yeah, which it should have been.
And you go down there and score, and it's, you know, now you're...
Somebody picked 24-20.
Yeah.
And then you'd been double thumbing back to your chest
today.
Who
picked 24-20? Did you pick Cowboys to win?
I picked Eagles, no.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, nice. See. Yeah, I did 27-20 Eagles.
I was thinking of paths for them to win. I was, you know, my whole day was like thinking about, wait a minute, now think about this and think about that. You know, that's kind of what I have to do. If I told you this in the game, because I was just looking at a couple of things, and we'll get into who I thought played well. But if I told you that Saquon Barkley, the metrics, he faced a stacked box in that game, 8 or more defenders, 67% of the game.
I believe it.
This was the most, more than 3 times the amount that he has faced, or he faced in 2024. Would you like to take a guess at how many yards? He had 12 carries. In those 12 carries against stack box for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys used to be a bad, they were bad stack box team last year.
Yeah, they would be
really
get through the first level and you were gone.
Barkley had 12 carries. How many yards do you think he had against those stack boxes?
30, 20.
27.
33. Hmm. 33 yards.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked. I was surprised watching it how well it really did work.
Well, how were they able to do that and contain A.J. Brown? A.J. Brown, like, couldn't get open all game.
That's a great question, and I would love for Broadus to answer that. I do think part of it, man, I thought the safeties were tackling people.
Well, Malik Hooker was thumping.
I thought Hooker was coming in
and
playing
Donovan
runs.
Wilson what? Late also came up and was playing.
I'll tell you what, Diggs was a big help in that game. And, you know, to be honest with you, they needed to get Elam off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Elam.
In what way? What was he doing?
Elam, they were going after. When they were trying to throw the ball, it wasn't so much at Diggs or at Bland.
Yeah, it was Elam.
It was Elam
for sure.
They were trying that.
But the one Lewis. Big play was on him,
right?
The Dotson.
Well, and if you look at that play, and I know you did.
Yeah.
What happened was you give Smith a lot of credit for running the route that he did, because he holds Hooker in the middle of the field. Hooker has to Hooker has to honor the route that he ran. He couldn't get over. And there was that separation, and Elam tried to run it down. I mean, he really, really did, but he couldn't.
He's not fast enough.
He just wasn't fast
enough. That was the fastest play of the night, I think, with him touching 20 miles an hour.
Dotson's got some serious speed. He really does.
Yep.
How would you get Elam off the field, though? Who would you play?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Diggs needs to play now. Diggs is starting, and then Bland's starting.
Oh, and then you go put Reddy in the nickel?
Well, you can even look at maybe it's a situation where, to me, I just don't start him. You know, if Reddy could be a nickel player, I would sure look at that. I mean, the things with Elam, I think, in training camp were good. There's things in the game you kind of – you're like, I see why. I see why they, you know, I see some of the separation problems. I see some of the not coming forward and tackling like you need to tackle.
Yeah, because he's going to be the mark. Like, we're talking about Adoree Jackson.
Right.
You mentioned Vaughn talking about find the scrub. Teams are going to look at Kyrie and be like, that's who we need to attack.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, real quick, too, my second little point that I want to make here. The Eagles, they had, again, 12 carries between the tackles. 12 carries. This is your factor of, with Osa, Clark,
Thomas,
all those guys. With those defensive tackles that we're all terrified of, 12 carries, how many yards between the tackles last night for the Eagles?
Man, I saw they smashed them. Let me get 25. Yeah, I would put it somewhere in there. They did a nice job in the interior.
Yeah, 20-something. I think it was like 1.3 yard per carry. Is the stat
18 yards.
18 yards.
18 yards.
That's dominant.
See, that's what, you know, we talk about run defense. We say, oh, tackles, edges, linebackers, you know. But great job. I think that, you know, the Cowboys front office was bragging about Clark. He made a difference.
He did.
At run defense.
Second play of the game.
He made a nice tackle. Big difference there.
One of the big reasons to feel better about this team.
Yep. Zach, I'm with you on the whole Jalen Tolbert thing. I'm just saying that. I'm not going to talk about him much.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
But they need to kind of figure out something, maybe a plan, a little bit better plan.
They need a Cole Beasley type. They need somebody who can kill you underneath consistently. And I like Jake Ferguson and the violence and the big playability, but they need a Dalton Schultz type of tight end and a Cole Beasley type of slot. They need at least one linebacker and a running back. And, well, I don't know, maybe they don't even need a running back. But if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm thinking, like, how about this deal the Eagles did where you sold 10%, you got $1 billion to pay a bunch of players? This thing is close. Use the picks, trade for help, and go contend.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking today.
I like that. I just didn't see that Tolbert. And I wish, like I said earlier, I wish they would have got Pickens more involved in this game.
Were they decoying him?
No. They just dacked.
There would be times Pickens kind of would – was very lackadaisical on some plays.
The routes, and that's what I wanted to get into about the routes. The routes weren't what you would think. Like, I was talking about Smith running a route that helped.
To clear.
That helped his teammate, that helped Dotson catch the ball. Pickens did not run the routes. Like,
Lazy. You can tell when it's a run.
I'm glad you saw that, because I didn't want to come and just, you know, bash Pickens, because, like, he still did some good things. But there was some stuff I'm like, are you really engaged here?
I was thinking that maybe that it was like he knew that it wasn't coming his way. But there's things, like you say, the penalty he had, I don't know what he was thinking on that. But there were routes where it was not run as hard and as, you know, as you're like going, okay, he's trying to get open, he's trying to get the ball and all that. And I wonder if it's one of those situations where Dak's like, okay, I got a feeling what's going on over there. You know, and I wanted him to get more involved, but the routes were a little bit of a – I think they weren't run at the level they need to be run at. Did you see anything else on that? I mean,
with I agree with you. And then even some block, like early in the game, he put somebody on his rear. I think it was a Turpin catch, maybe.
A lamb. It was a lamb catch.
And he had a really good block. But then there were other times it's like he's just kind of lollygagging in there, not really wanting to make contact and engage.
Yeah.
My reaction to the penalty was I thought it was a reputation call. I think it looked much worse than it did. When they put that on the instant replay, I thought he didn't throw him down. His arms might have moved in a direction that made it look like that.
Yeah. But I think they call it, like, clotheslining is what they call it.
Yeah.
I think they called, like,
up around the headgear.
Blow to the head.
That's what it looked like, I thought.
It was like, I told Wolchuk, I go, my gosh, it looks like he's, like, bulldogging for the, you know, pro rodeo guys out here, you know. I mean, he literally, it wasn't even a block. It was just, like, he jumps in, like, kind of old school clotheslines.
Yeah.
Reed Blankenship in the neck. And I'm like, bro, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. You might get a situation like to say, I'm interested to see now what happens. We talked about the defensive tackles. I'm interested to see when Winfrey comes back. If, in fact, can he be a part? I think Jay Toia, I think, was okay.
I thought he got better as the game went on.
Yeah, it was kind of like there was – he was always seemed like to me just a half man away from making a play.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he was just – a little bit more in this gap, there would have been a play, you know. And they didn't give up anything inside, but it felt like though that there were some times where he could have been like right there and made a play, but he was just a half man away from making the play.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that is something that we'll see.
Is he inactive and Winfrey's active?
Exactly. I mean, maybe it's a deal where Mozzie and Jay are inactive, and then I totally agree with you guys too about Houston. I think Houston needs to play more in these situations because I think a lot like Marshawn Nealon, he's good against the run, and then he could also do stuff with the pass or things. So just keep an eye on how those things will play out there. But I do like what the secondary did overall. I just feel like now that with get Diggs on the field full time again, get Bland there, maybe you find a way with Reddy Stewart. Maybe that's a little bit more of a nickel option for you. That kind of gives you your best guys to be out there playing. But I thought overall those guys played pretty well.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every afternoon 3:40 here on your home of the Cowboys. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, joins us next year on The Fan.